You'll take your Bibles and open them with me to the book of 1 Timothy. I want to talk to you about some issues there in South Africa. We're in desperate need of laborers. We're in desperate need of men and women who would give their lives for the furtherance of the gospel. I'll give you just a couple of stats. I know stats don't do much for us, but there are 45 million people thereabouts. You may have heard a lot of stuff about South Africa, but there is a tremendous need for men and women, men particularly, who would surrender to preach the gospel, who would give their lives over to preach the gospel in one of these foreign languages. There are about 60 million people in the country that we know of. There, for 75% of the country, which lives in the townships, you've probably heard a lot about that. That's where we ministered particularly. There are 10 tribes that are within these townships that were set up by the apartheid, and they make up about 75% of the population, 45 million people or so. And that we know of, there are less than five Baptists ministering in a local language. In a language that the men and women and children can understand. It's a terribly difficult language, and there are other factors that keep people from giving their lives. But we're praying, and I want to give these prayer requests to you very quickly before we go into the Word of God. I want to give you three prayer requests just very quickly. We're praying for two families that would wholeheartedly surrender to come and learn this language and this culture. What these people need are the gospel being is the gospel being preached in a language that they can understand. There's chaos within the locations, and there's no shortage of religion. But there's, one man said it, there's charismatic chaos all within the location of South Africa. And so we're praying the God of heaven will raise up two families in particular, two families. And we're begging God for two families that would surrender. We're begging God for five new students for our training center. We have a training center over in Alpharetta, Georgia, Vision Baptist Missions. We serve as church planters with Vision Baptist Missions out of Whitfield Baptist Church, is our home church in Dalton, Georgia. But we're praying for five new students. The Lord is already beginning to answer our prayers. We have not because we ask not. And while we're back here on furlough, we're asking for some very specific things, and we're excited to see God already begin to answer some of these specific prayer requests. We're praying for five new students for this training center that would surrender their lives to prepare for the work of the ministry. A call to go is a call to prepare, and so we're praying for five new students for this training center. Last week, I took a young man down to our training center, and Lord willing, he's going to get involved in the training center. So God is already answering that, but so we need four more. So if you can pray for four more, actually keep it at five. We'll go ahead and ask for five more. We don't need to ask for less. So we need five more students for the training center. Also, another big prayer request that we have is we are going to start a Christian school upon our return. And this is a big step of faith for me. I have no idea what I'm getting into. But the God of heaven seems to be opening doors. As I was telling Brother Earl before church, there is a tremendous need for schools within the location. And again, I'll give you a very quick stat, and then we'll go into the Word of God. The stats for matriculation, for graduation, came out just recently for last year. And last year, the matric rate, or the graduation rate in South Africa, was, I think, 36%. And that sounds not terrible on the surface, but when you break it down, it's even way worse than it sounds. The education, 36% of the people graduate at a 30% out of 100. So they've dumbed the system down, and at a 30%, 36% of the country graduates. Also, 25% of the country lives in town, 75% lives outside of town, where we minister, and in town, it's almost 100% graduation rate, which is factored in there. So we're looking at less than 10%, maybe around 10 to 11%. That are graduating at 30%. And so we are having to teach our pastors. We want to expedite this process of church planting missionaries, of pastors, and we have to get them educated. We have reading classes on Sunday afternoon at our church. Well, before COVID and all this stuff, we did many things. We'll get back to normal soon, Lord willing. But we're teaching these men simple math, teaching these men simple, also the ability to read, if you can imagine that, a redneck from the hills of North Georgia teaching one of these guys how to read their own language, read their own Bible. It's amazing. God's got a sense of humor for sure. But But if you would, pray with us. The God of heaven has already opened some doors. We're looking at property and you know, materials and curriculum and all of that, because we're going to do it in town a little bit. So it's going to cost around $72,000 to $75,000. And in January alone, the God of heaven has raised up $14,000 of that. And so we're well on our way. And God is answering our prayers, and we want to praise the God of heaven. We have not because we ask not. And we praise the God of heaven for how he's answering these prayers. And I want to talk to you tonight about a problem we have in South Africa. But I want to talk to you about it in the book of 1 Timothy. It's a problem we have in the United States as well. This book, one man said it this way. One pastor said it this way. He said, if you want to understand a book, if you want to understand a book of the Bible, many times the God of heaven, he's good. He's good to us. He gives us keys. And much like you and me, if you were going to hide your keys for your house, if you were going to hide your keys for your house for somebody to get into your house while you're not there, you'd either hide them near the front door or near the back door. Well, the God of heaven has hid a key near the front door and the back door to understanding what this book is all about. So we don't have to guess what this book is all about. We just need to be busy doing it. Look at with me in chapter number 6, verse number 11, if you would. We're going to be in the chapter number 6, verse number 11. Very quickly, look at these verses. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Now, underline this phrase if you do that. If you don't, adopt that custom. Fight the good fight. See, this book is about fighting the good fight. Fight the good fight. I want to talk to you just briefly about fighting the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight. Oh, man of God. Of course, we know this is a pastoral epistle. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's telling him, fight the good fight. Stay in the good fight. In chapter number 1, go back over there with me, because in the first chapter, you see this same key. Over in chapter number 1, I think it's in verse number 18. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might," underline that phrase, "war a good warfare." War a good warfare. Fight a good fight. There's a good fight of faith. And unfortunately, there is a lot of people losing this battle. A lot of churches are losing this battle today. And if I could do anything today, whether it's in South Africa or whether it's in North America, what I want to be considered is a faithful minister of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to be considered a faithful minister. And this book tells me very clearly what I need to do in order to do that. Look in chapter number 4, verse number 6, very quickly. Chapter number 4, verse number 6. He says, "If," conditional, "if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." So if I want to be a good minister, what I need to do tonight, and what you need to learn to do as a congregation, we need to learn what's within these books, what's within these pages in 1 Timothy, and we need to be continually putting these things before our people. Why? Because there are many fights to get involved with in this world, but there is a good fight of faith. I want to talk to you tonight about the good fight of faith. There are many, many things the church can get involved in, but there is a good fight of faith. And let me remind you tonight that Satan is masterful at what he does. He is unbelievably good at what he does. They say you need to have 10,000 hours in something to be a professional. They say you need, in order to learn, also you need to put in 10,000 hours if you want to be very good at it. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a mechanic, whatever it may be, they say you need to put in, whoever they are, they say you need to put in about 10,000 hours. Well, Satan has 10,000 years at doing something, at trickery, at being who he is, the deceiver. The one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The one who is masterful at putting something before us. Fakes. We worked in South America before we went to South Africa, and we had groups, Brother Corey, we had groups that would come down, and we would constantly tell them before we went to the markets. I don't know if you've ever been to a big city or outside of the country, and they have open-air markets, and many times you see on the sidewalk, you see all of these things. You'll see out on the sidewalk, let me tell you. You'll see Rolexes. Oh, man, you will see Oakley sunglasses. You will see all of these brand name clothing, and undoubtedly, even after warning the folks that are coming down, hey, these things are not true. These things are not what they seem to be. Undoubtedly, somebody will go over to it, look at it, and they are attractive. I mean, very, very, very attractive. These things look like the real thing. You put them on and you're sold. I mean, you start putting it, you put on one of them Rolexes, and all of a sudden when you're walking back to the house, the hands start falling off of it. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, that's what'll happen with you if you're in the wrong fight. What will happen is you'll be left empty-handed. I'll be left empty-handed. While I'm here on furlough, I just want to be a good minister. And the church of God is being deceived into getting into all of these fights. But there is a good fight of faith. And we need to be involved in the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. There were all kinds of issues within this church at Ephesus. Here, there are all kinds of issues at Ephesus. And Timothy has been left there. Go with me to the first chapter, and I want to talk to you about the good fight. What is the good fight of faith? Look at verse number 3 with me, very quickly. Verse number 3 says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Underline that phrase, that they teach no other doctrine. There's a good fight of faith, and Timothy was left there in Ephesus to fight this good fight. And undoubtedly, Timothy has been in this thing for a little while. And the Apostle Paul, or the God of heaven rather, the God of heaven looks down at Timothy and sees Timothy in his state. And he cared. He cared so much so that he breathed in the Apostle Paul these words to, the God of heaven breathed into Apostle Paul these words to give to Timothy. That's how much he loved Timothy. And he's writing these things to Timothy to help him to stay on track. And unless you continue to look and read and look over these things to stay on track, man, you are going to fall for a counterfeit. And what is the good fight of faith? Well, you got to understand the good fight of faith before you can stay in it. Amen. We got to understand, what is this good fight? What is the good fight of faith? What is the church? This is a pastoral epistle written to the pastor of a church. It's a church letter. So what is the good fight of faith? What are we supposed to be consumed with? I want you to look there with me very quickly. And this is the issue in the church today. This is the issue in South Africa. This is the issue in America. He said, I besought thee. This is just a very surface truth. He said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. I besought thee. Underline and think about that word, to beseech. I besought thee. What does that word beseech mean? It means to beg, right? You have an older man in the faith looking to a younger man in the faith. His son in the faith. And what is he doing? He's begging him. Why do you reckon he's begging him? Why do you reckon the Apostle Paul is begging this young man? Because there were 500 more at his side? No. The issue were men of God. The whole issue where there were no men of God stepping up. There were no men of God who were qualified stepping up to the plate. The same issue 2,000 years ago is the same issue today. Oh, men of God, where are you? Oh, men of God, we need men of God. There are men and women perishing by the hundreds. One of the things that affected me dearly there in South Africa, I was selling real estate. 15, 16 years ago, I had my life planned out. I mean, I was selling real estate. I was building houses. I took a trip over there, and all of a sudden, the God of heaven smacked me in the face with reality for the majority of people in this world. People who are destitute of the grace of God. In this world and after this world. I saw people, and Brother Earl and Brother Corey and others can vouch for this. Every Saturday we have a death culture in South Africa where they're by the hundreds being buried. By the hundreds they're digging graves. They're dying of AIDS, of malnutrition, of tuberculosis. Many of the people that you saw in that video have already beat us there. By the grace of God. But there are so many who are passing off into eternity. Who have not the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, man of God. Oh, man of God, where are you? The issue is the man, the qualified man for the work of the ministry. The issue of the church is equipping godly men for the work of the ministry. That is the fight. The good fight is equipping, is teaching right doctrine. You don't get qualified men for the work of the ministry without right doctrine. And this church was full of wrong doctrine. This church was full of all kinds of madness. You had men and women who were standing up, men and women who were standing up preaching. No doubt they probably had good morals, and no doubt they probably looked like good folks amongst the community, but they had no idea what they were talking about. Though they were telling truth, they were repeating truth, rather, should I say, repeating verses. And I can vouch for how this looks. In South Africa, I can go out on visitation on Saturdays, and they're sitting there with a cold beer in their hand, worshiping their ancestors, and I can begin to quote scripture. I can quote, that was John 3:16. I can quote scripture and they will quote it back to me. And then some of those same men are filling the pulpits on Sunday in mainline denominations that you would consider probably you'd be able to hear the gospel in. Right doctrine. That's the issue. See, Timothy is there. What was necessary for Timothy to step up there? What was necessary? Well, he had been invested in. It's about, oh man of God, but mother and grandmother, don't think you're any less necessary in this equipping men and women for the work of the ministry. Timothy had a godly grandmother, godly mother, who were pouring doctrine in their lives. And then God of heaven saw Timothy, brought Paul into his life, and then Paul advanced him on into his discipleship. Oh, men of God, we need God of who are equipped for the work of the ministry, who have right doctrine. Look down to verse number 7. These people who were standing up, they didn't know the basic tenets of the faith. They didn't understand why the law was given even. I mean, who in here doesn't understand why the law is given? Well, let's look and see. He says in verse number 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know. How many of us in here know why the law was given? Show of hands, how many know why the law was given? Amen. If you don't, I'm about to explain it for you real quickly. Why was the law given? We know the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And we know that the law is not made for a righteous man. That law in Galatians, we have God's word. In Galatians, it's that schoolmaster. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified through faith. We understand this, right? Amen. We understand that by keeping of the law, no man shall be justified. We understand, for by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourself, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand these truths, amen? Amen. We have been entrusted with the mysteries and the secrets of God Almighty. Oh, man of God, where are you? We need men who would step out by faith and take the gospel to the world. We need men who are equipped for the work of the ministry. And you've got all these stats coming out how this group and that group are evangelized. Come over. Come over and see what evangelized people look like. Come over and see how evangelized people act. Oh, man of God, where are you? We need men and women who would step up to the plate and fight the good fight. We understand why the law was given. If you understand, it wasn't given for righteous men. If you're righteous, you have believed in Jesus Christ. You have been cloaked in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That law has fulfilled its duty. That law has shown you your sinful condition before a holy and just God. And that law has brought you to the tutor, the schoolmaster, who is able to save your soul, who is able to save my soul. He is the only mediator between God and man. That is the man Jesus Christ. He is the only person who can save you from your sin. If you're trusting in any other name, there is no other name given amongst men. Amen. Below heaven. And I know I'm paraphrasing this because I don't know what language I'm speaking right now. whereby you must be saved. There's only one name, and that's my Jesus, and that's your Jesus. It's Jesus. There's no other name given among men. Amen? Amen? You know that truth. I know that truth. We need to be busy fighting the good fight. What is fighting the good fight? We're equipping men for the work of the ministry. Timothy was there. What do you need to be? What do you need to be in order to be used of God? Well, you need to be righteous and available. That's all Timothy was. He was there. he was by Paul, and he was there. He was available, and he was righteous. And he was on his way to being that man that was ongonganakumangalaleka. There's your also word for today. It's only about 25, 26 letters. You can say, you can repeat it with me, right? Ongonganakumangalaleka. That's what we need in South Africa. That's what we need in South Texas. I don't know where I am. I'm about to confuse myself there. They don't need anything less than we need. That's a very easy word to say in English. Very hard to obtain. Blameless. What they need are some blameless men. Paul gave this letter to Timothy. And those requirements. And what's happened over there are people begin a good work. Something happens and they get out of dodge. They start the good fight. But then they get distracted. And they get taken off track. And the next thing you know, you have unqualified men in the pulpits. Take heed, church. Don't think that we're beyond that. I know you have an incredible pastor. Amen. I've listened online. I haven't met him in person. Look forward to meeting him someday in person. I'm just here to remind you. Man, those fights that Satan put before us, those counterfeits are very attractive. The work of the church is preparing men for the work of the ministry. That is why you exist. That is why I exist. Why do we exist? Why are we here? Why do we come together? Yes, it's for the furtherance of the, it's for the glory of God Almighty. But God doesn't get any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And he wants to use you. He wants to use me. He has left us here for a very specific purpose and a specific reason. There's a reason you're still here. There's a reason you haven't gone on into his presence. And that is that he is slow to anger for them. It is more needful, as Paul said to the Philippians, it's more needful that you stay here for a lost and dying world. You personally, me personally, that's the reason he hasn't taken us on to glory. Why? Because he has created us to have communion with him. He wants to have communion. The God of heaven is a good father who wants to be with his children. But he wants everybody to be his children. And he wants to use you. He wants to help you to lay down a good foundation for that which is to come. That's what the end of this letter talks about. When many times we get consumed with this world. Look over there very quickly. Those that are very rich. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And we're all rich in here, let me tell you. Yeah. I go ahead and tell you. I don't think any of us live in a shack. No water, no power, amen? Amen. You're rich. I don't care what you say. If you're living on the government in the United States of America, you're rich. If you're in prison, you're rich. Our prisoners live better than the majority of the world. But lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That's what the God of heaven wants for you and for me. He wants you to have a part in this. And in order to get that, you got to stay in the good fight. You got to know what the good fight is. It's doctrine. It's understanding what doctrine. What is doctrine? Of course, doctrine is what's right according to God. We don't get to say what's right. It's God that says what's right. Amen. Of course, we understand this book. Hey, Paul is helping Timothy to put forth good doctrine. That's why he was left in this church. He was left in verse number 3. Remember, I besought thee to abide still as I went into Ephesus, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Doctrine is what's right according to God. That's the simple definition. It's just what is right according to God and His Word. It's what God says is right. And there are many things that were happening within this church that were not right. There were women who were usurping authority over men. Why? More than likely, same reason they were doing it in Africa. Because the men weren't stepping up. More than likely, it's because we can criticize. But where are you, O man of God, who is qualified? Who is qualified for the work of the ministry? We need men. We need to know what the fight is in order to stay in it. And very quickly, I just want to give you a few things. We just started a new year. How many of you had New Year's resolutions? How many of you have already fallen off the wagon? Amen. I want to give you a few things to practice that you stay in this good fight. We understand it's teaching right doctrine. We understand it's equipping godly men for the work of the ministry. Equipping godly men for the work of the ministry is knowing right doctrine, teaching right doctrine, equipping men for the godly. Now look with me in chapter number 4. How are we going to stay in this good fight very quickly? I'm going to give you 5 things and I'm closing in 5 minutes. Amen. This is going to take a miracle. Look at chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, verse number 7. So the good fight is equipping godly men for the work of ministry. And if you want to stay in this good fight, brethren, listen to my words now. You must exercise. I know that's an 8-letter cuss word. But you must exercise yourself unto godliness. You must exercise yourself unto godliness or you'll fall for the wrong fight. And this chapter will help you. It says down in verse number 7, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise. Paul said in Philippians, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Exercise. If you've ever been in a fight, how many of you have ever been in a fight? If you're weak, you're probably going to get whipped. Amen? If you let down your guard, you're probably going to get beat. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise. We don't like that word. We don't like to exercise. And most of us, when we begin, do we have any runners in here? Do we have anybody who likes to run marathons? I'm not one of those guys. I've never gotten to that point where it's enjoyable. But they say if you get to that point, if you cross the hump, then it becomes an enjoyable thing. I've never made it there. I do understand with exercising, though, physically, like lifting weights and stuff. And if you get over that hump, man, it's like almost addictive, if you will. And it becomes enjoyable. But a lot of us stay on this side of the hump. And so we never make it over the hump. And so all these things that I'm about to talk about, it's like they're hard to obtain. But I just want to encourage you today, do these 5 things very quickly. And keep doing them in 2021. And you will not fall for the counterfeits of Satan. Do these 5 things. First thing I want you to do very quickly is verse number 5. He says, for it is sanctified by word of God and by prayer. These people had seared their conscience. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be the person who has seared their conscience with a hot iron. And so we got to sanctify everything we do by word and prayer. We're going to take every action that we do. That's a big exercise. We're going to take every action that we are determined to do. And we're going to sanctify it. We're going to compare it with the Scripture. In 2021, we're going to compare it with the Scripture. And then we're going to pray about it. We're going to humble ourselves before Holy God. And even if the Scriptures don't contradict what we want to do, or they don't go against what we want to do, then we're still going to pray because we have the Holy Spirit of God. Just because the Scriptures say we can do it or can't do it doesn't mean that it's the will of God for our lives. If it says we can't do it, we can't do it. But if it doesn't say we can't do it, we still have the Holy Ghost. And we don't want to sear our conscience. And so we're going to sanctify everything we do through word and prayer. There are people who were saying stuff that I like, eating meats and getting married. I like 2 of those 2 things that, man, I'm glad. I'm glad I can eat meat and I'm glad I'm married. And they were preaching that wasn't right. And so right doctrine will help you there. Sanctify everything you do. First exercise. Second exercise, verse number 9. Verse number 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is a very key exercise here, quick. A very key. You're going to believe everything in this book to be true. Not just this letter here, but the Word of God. You're going to make it a point to believe it, whether you like it or not. whether you totally understand it or not. There were truths within this book that were hard to swallow. Women, not a serpent authority over men. You get over in chapter number 6 and he's going to talk about a slave and a master. You go over there, he's not condoning or condemning slavery in that text. He's already condemned it in the first chapter as man-stealers. But in the end, he's going to talk about slaves and slave owners and the slave and his responsibility to be godly. I don't have time to go into this, but his responsibility to be godly, which was going to affect real change. The slave was to submit to authority. We have to learn to submit to authorities. And some of those things on the surface, they're very hard to understand. But we got to believe it, we got to believe it to be true, whether we like it or not. It's true and it's good and it's right. You have to believe that to be true. God is not telling us to do anything that is wrong. God, every one of his precepts, every one of his laws are sweet and good and right. And so we got to believe every one of them to be true. Verse number 11, very quickly, and I'm closing. These things command and teach. These things command and teach. You got to change your conversation and make a disciple. You make a disciple. You have been blessed to be a blessing. If you don't want to fall for the traps, where's your disciple? You'll be left empty-handed. You'll be left empty-handed in the end. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ made disciples. And so the God of heaven has left you here to make disciples, to teach others. You can't blame this on pastor. You can't put all this on pastor's plate. You can't put all this on Sunday school teacher's plate. The God of heaven has given you truth. He has invested in your life. And it is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to teach and exhort. Also, to put these things before your people. Verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. And I won't stay there. Read the scriptures out loud. Lots. Read the scriptures. And then finally. This is why this time of COVID has been so dangerous for the church of God. Verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. You got to use your gift. The God of heaven has gifted you, but you got to use it in this local assembly. This is the organism through which the God of heaven has chosen to expand his kingdom, the church. I got a question for you. Can your grandson, your granddaughter, recite to you what your ministry in your local church is? Can your mother, can your sister, can your children tell you, well, this is my dad's ministry. Well, this is my mom's ministry. Well, this is my grandmother's ministry. The God of heaven has gifted you particularly, specifically, with something. You are a member of this body, and you should be able to recite to others what you do for the expansion of the kingdom is. If you can't, talk with Pastor, talk with Brother Earl. I'm sure they got a ministry for you. But you do these things, these five exercises in 2021. If you do these things, you won't fall for that counterfeit. You won't fall for that counterfeit, and you won't be left empty-handed. In the end, remember, Satan is masterful at trickery, but the God of heaven has put reminders before you tonight. And now what are you going to do with them? What fight are you in? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word this evening. I pray, dear God, now that your word would work effectually in our hearts and our minds. I pray, dear God, most of all, if there be one in here tonight that hasn't submitted and receive the righteousness of God, hasn't repented and believed in Jesus Christ for salvation, I pray, dear God, that you would convict his heart use the Holy Spirit and the Word to convict the heart of the lost. I pray, dear God, that you would move him to, or her, to accept the gift of salvation that is offered in and through the person of Jesus Christ and him alone. Pray to God that you would make him righteous now. Give him a clean conscience. Lord, if there be one listening to my voice on social media or wherever, Lord, I pray to God that you would use these words. Help them to see their condition before you. Help them to know that they need Jesus. They need a Savior. God, help us to see that what we're involved in, that what we're consumed with, God, is what you died for, your church, God. Thank you for making me a minister of your word. Thank you for this congregation who listened. And I pray, dear God, that you would work your perfect will tonight. Lord, your will be done.